All right, we're going to start here on the top of Nandala to Manalif, four lines down. We're going to continue discussing the issues of drusa, but actually the checking of something or an animal that was nidras. All right, Yotiv Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta kameid Rav Nachman. He was sitting in front of Rav Yotiv Kamar, and he said over this memra. Here we're continuing to discuss the issue of drusa, animals that were attacked by predatory animals that the Gemara thinks that when they're clawed by those animals, there's some sort of deposit of venom inside. The difference being that if the venom is deposited and you have a red splotch from it on the basar and the flesh around it, that'll be considered to be a trefa. Whereas if it's not a drusa, if it's not something that has that venom in its claws, then it has to actually puncture the internal organs of the animal in order for it to be a trefa. So how do we do it? We have to check. When it gets attacked, you have to check it. So where do you have to check? So now he says, whenever we say about a drusa that needs to be checked, keneged bnei ma'ayim, has to check against the internal organs. Now, bnei ma'ayim is a term that's somewhat unclear here, and we're going to see in a second why the term is unclear. It seems to be, at least according to the Amoraim and the Gemara, bnei ma'ayim refers to the digestive system. All those that are involved in the digestive system, the intestines, the stomach, and the reticulum, the omasum, all of those areas that are included in the digestive system. There is another possibility that bnei ma'ayim is more expansive, and bnei ma'ayim means any of the internal organs. That would include the liver and the lungs as well, the entire part of the internal organs. We'll see in a second that's machloka between Rashi and Tosafot. But anyway, he says you got to check keneged bnei ma'ayim. So Rav Nachman responds to him, says, okay, how could it be? You know, that's like him saying, I'm taking a shavua. Mori barav, Rav says the area that you have to check is mikapa v'adatma, that you have to check from the kapa, which we don't know. That's the word like kaf like a spoon or a pan. V'adatma, atma refers to the femur bone. So my kapa, so when we're talking about the kapa here, what's the beginning part of it? Ilema kapa diyodo, if we're talking about the shoulder blade or the scapula, hainu keneged bnei ayim. That's the equivalent of keneged bnei ayim. Then you haven't done anything. If you go from the femur bone up to the shoulder blade or the scapula, then you've included all of the bnei ma'ayim in it. Now Rashi says over here, oh, you know what that bnei ma'ayim means? Bnei ma'ayim means all of the internal organs, including the kaved, including the liver and the lungs. So bnei ma'ayim has a much more expansive meaning than simply the digestive tract. It also means these other internal organs. And that's why Rashi says from the scapula all the way back to the femur, those will be included in this area that needs to be checked. Whereas Tosafot comes along and says, wait a minute. He says that the only area that's called the bnei ma'ayim is the keres and the dakim, is the stomach and the intestines, basically the digestive tract. In the Lashon of the Mishnah and the Braita, it's true that bnei ma'ayim is more expansive. And it means much more. But when it comes to Amoraim that are speaking in the Gemara, bnei ma'ayim means digestive tract. And one of his proofs is that in the last 2 days, we dealt with both the Nefula as well as the yesterday in the Drusa, that there was a machloket Amoraim about how much you have to check. One of the Amoraim said bnei ma'ayim, and the other one said kol beit ha'chalal, the whole cavity. Well, what's the difference between bnei ma'ayim and chalal if you think that all the internal organs are included in bnei ma'ayim? So then you would have to distinguish between them. And Tosafot says, I'll tell you what the difference between them is. Bnei ma'ayim is only the digestive system. The chalal, the whole internal cavity, includes things like the liver and the lungs. And therefore, Tosafot over here says that when we're talking about bnei ma'ayim, we're only talking about the digestive tract. And he says that the kapa de yada, which is the scapula, he agrees with Rashi, but it's actually on an angle. And since the scapula is on an angle, it depends from which end of the scapula that you're going. And that's how Tosafot explains the Gemara over here. Explains it as referring to the scapula, but the upper end of the scapula, the top of the scapula, the shoulder blade, which is much further back in the animal, and only includes the bnei ma'ayim or the digestive tract. Rashi is talking about the lower end of the scapula, and that is further to the front, and therefore he would include even the lungs and the liver in the bnei ma'ayim. Now the Gemara says, so then what is it including here? If the bnei ma'ayim is now included in that, then why did Rav Nachman get upset? He's saying the same thing. Ela must be mikapa de mocha datma. It means from the pan or the base of the skull all the way back to the femur bone. So if you do that, then you're talking way all the way up from the head, whack down to the femur. So that would include not only the digestive tract, not only the liver and the lungs, but even the simanim. The whole neck would have to be included in the areas that need to be checked according to this statement of Rav that Rav Nachman is bringing. Kisalik Rav Chia bar Yosef. Ashkechinu the Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Chir bar Yosef left Bavel, went over to Eretz Yisrael, and he finds Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish. The Yatvei v'Kamrei, they say over there, Drusa she'amru tzricha bedika. the drusa that we're talking about here that needs a bedika, keneged bnei ma'ayim, is into the internal organs. Again, the internal organs, according to Tosafot, will mean the digestive system, according to Rashi, a little more expansive. Amar lehu, the Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says, Elukim, mori barav mikapa vad atma. He quotes this same memra of Rav that Rav Nachman just quoted before, that was said to Rav Yitzchak. So Amar le Reish Lakish, manu Rav, v'lo yadanale. How come everybody keeps quoting this guy called Rav, and I don't know who he is? Everybody's quoting all this stuff from him, and I never bumped into him. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Valon Hirale, you don't remember him? Loto Talmid, Shishimeshet Rabbi Rabo. He was the Talmid that was one of the main Talmidim in front of Rabbi. Vir Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was his uncle, and Rabbi was his Rabbi, and they both were the Rebbeim of Rav. So Rav sat in front of them in Eretz Yisrael. He had to learn in front of them in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were in the yeshiva at the time. So Rabbi Yochanan is trying to remind Reish Lakish about this super duper Talmud that was in the Beit Midrash at the time. Velukim, and I'm telling you, Kol Atan Shanim Shishimesh Oto Talmud Bi Yeshiva, Ani Shimashti Bi Amidah, I was standing, and he was sitting. Meaning that Rav was given to be, it was of a hierarchy, and the hierarchy in the Beit Midrash is that the teachers sat down, and the students stood up. But the best of the students got to sit right in front of the Rebbeim, and they also sat. So his point is that Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as I was in the Yeshiva, I was standing, and Rav was sitting. I mean, that's how great he was. He's one of the top Talmidim. Uman gavar, hu gavar bekulo. And what do you mean? Is he a gavar or gever? What is he good at? He's good at everything. And he's great, as Rashi points out, he's a great learner. He's great in midot chasidut and sidkut. He's an all-round superstar. Zemiyad patach Reish Lakish Ramar. Ah, Reish Lakish says, Ram zachor oto ish letov. Now I remember him. That's right. Shamro mishmuam bipiv. And I also heard something else in his name. Shmuta vishchuta ksheira. If the trachea detaches and it was shechted, it's ksheira. Shei avshar l'shmuta sheteaseh shchuta. Because you know for certain that the trachea detached after the shchita, because it's impossible to shecht or cut through the trachea when it's already detached. So Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Yaviv Yakif, why can't you check this? We talked about this before, the comparison of trefot. Take another animal and cut through the trachea, or more likely, more plausible, the way Tosafot explains here, cut on that same trachea, and see if the cut that you make post the nishmat, post the time that it's severed, see what the cut looks like. If the cut is exactly the same as what we have, then it was after the shkita, it was done, the shkita was done after it was already severed. On the other hand, if it doesn't look like it, then it was done before it was severed. Amar Rav Nachman lo shanu lo tafas bisimanim. The fact that you can say that a shmuta cannot be shkuta is only if the Shochet didn't grab the simanim, hold them in place. But the fas b'simanim, if he holds the simanim in place, v'shachat, shal l'shmuta, sh'teseh shchuta. Then a severed trachea could be cut. It's a classic, if you take your plate, and you take a knife, and you want to cut a piece of meat on your plate. If you cut the piece of meat just with a knife, you'll have a very hard time cutting the meat, because there'll be nothing to stabilize the meat. So if there's nothing there to stabilize the meat, you don't put a fork in it to stabilize it, you're going to have a very difficult time cutting it. So that's the same thing here with the severed trachea. If you're trying to do shchita on a severed trachea, there's nothing stabilizing the trachea. So when you're trying to cut through it, you're not going to be able to do shchita through such a trachea. If it's attached, then it's held tightly on both ends, and you can cut through it. It's as if you had the fork in the meat, and then you can cut through the meat. And that's what the qualification that's brought over here, that lo shano shalo tafas b'simanim, that's as long as the shochet himself is not holding onto the siman. If the shochet holds onto the siman, he's replicating, or he's creating the same situation as if it's attached. Because now he's stabilized the trachea, and by stabilizing the trachea, you can do a shchita, even though the trachea itself is severed. So you see over here that they, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, were reminiscing about the greatness of Rav, that when he still had learned in Eretz Yisrael, they recognized and remembered him as the super-duper Talmud in the front of the class. And now Rav, they're hearing these memorot from Rav that are coming back to him, that Rav says that the area that you need to check is much larger than the Mesorah that they have. They have Mesorah for B'nai Me'ayim, and the internal organs, whether it's just a digestive tract or a little more than that. Rav has a Mesorah that it goes all the way from the head, the top of the head, to the femur, to the back of the animal. All right, Zeh Klal. Here's the end of the Mishnah. Zeh Klal is the principle. Anything that cannot live from the injury, that's a trefa. If it can live from the injury or the diseased area, then it's not a trefa. Latuye mai. What does the Zeh Klal come to include in our Mishnah? Latuye shev shmetata. That is, it comes to include the seven memrot of the Amoraim. If you remember when we were discussing at the beginning of the parak, the 18 trefot, the Gemara brought down, is there really only 18? Because we have these additional, and they bring a couple more, and then they bring the seven memrot of the Amoraim that discuss trefot, and the Gemara discusses how we get to 18 from that. So that's what Gemara says, the Shev Shmaitata, that's what it comes to include. The Zeh Klal comes to say, also the Shev Shmaitata that the Amoraim have, the Mesorah, they're included. Derbe Yosef Rishba, the Yosef, the trapper or fowler, Machu Bigidayat and Ashia, they used to whack or hit the sciatic nerve on the animal, Vikatle Oto, and it used to kill it. It used to kill the animal. It used to stop it in its tracks. So Atta the Kameh Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, so they come and tell this to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. We know that we can whack it right over there, and the animal dies. So that should be a trait for Akwe. The Mishnah lays it out. Anything where there's damage that's done and the animal doesn't live, that should be qualified as a trait for. So I'm like, oh, v'chi the host sifal a trait for deish. He says, we don't have permission to add on to the trefot. The trefot that are mentioned here are all by Misora, they're Alocha the Moshe Misinai, and we don't add on any additional trefot, so I'm not willing to expand the list here. And for whatever reason that it's working by you, that doesn't make it into a trefot necessarily. Then we have another story, which is the Bay Rab Popper Bar Abba Rishbo. Again, a fowler, a trapper. But they used to machu bekulia. They used to be able to hit the kidneys. Bekatli, and it would kill the animal. Atu the kamei to Rabbi Ava, and they do the same thing. They come before Rabbi Ava, Amar lohu, when he says, "V'chilo hosifo treifot yesh." Do we have permission to add on to treifot? Ein l'chala mashu manu chachamim. And you have to say we can't. We don't add on to what the chachamim said, and therefore this won't qualify as a treifa. How they did this exactly is interesting. Rashi says either they hit it with a staff, a stick. They hit it very hard by the kuliot, by the kidneys, or they had the ability to shoot an arrow. And the arrow went exactly through the hind of the animal where the kulia was. So it only pushed, it hurt the kidneys. And we're going to see, we know that the kidneys are not problematic. If the animal's missing its kidneys, it's not a trefa. Nevertheless, they were able to hit the kidneys in a certain way that it caused the animal to die and stop it in its tracks. So they wanted to say that that should be a trefa as well. And again, they were rejected. The Gemara asked the obvious question. Wait a minute. We see that they do die. Well, if they do die, then they should be a trefa. I mean, that's the exact qualification. You would need to be a trefa. Where it says, Gemiri di Badrila Sama Chayo, that there's a difference between these wounds and the other trefot. The trefot that are mentioned in the Mishnah as well as by the Amoraim, these are trefot. This is damage, wound, disease, problematic to the point that it's irreversible. That once they happen, there is no way to cure this problem, and the animal for certain will die. As opposed to these two instances, these two examples of the hunters, yes, they were very good, and they were able to do this and kill the animal. Nevertheless, if someone got to the animal in time and had the right to medicines, they could cure the animal. So it wasn't a trefa in the sense that it's irreversible. It did kill the animal, but wasn't irreversible, and that's why they do not qualify to be trefot. All right, now we bring the Mishnah. We've quoted this Mishnah a couple of times, but this Mishnah is almost the contrast to the first Mishnah in the Perek. First Mishnah in the Perek is Elu trefot, and now we have Elu ksherot. These are things that are not trefot in the animal. Velu ksherot bebehema. Nikva gargaret. In the case where they punctured the trachea, because we remember the trachea has to have a rove to reach until the rove, whether it's rove hekefa, rove chalala, from the outside, the inside, that we discussed in the previous Gemarot. Oh, and this is what Joel's mentioning, ocean nistika, it was actually severed, there was something cracked or missing from it. Ad kama techsar, how much does it have to be missing in order to be a trefa? Shem galmira ad kisar atalki. This is what Joel, you were just mentioning, that it has to be the size of nisar, and that we already discussed in the Gemara. How much you need to be missing. We talked about these nifchata gulgolet. If you have the skull that is broken or missing a part of the bone, v'lo nikev krum shomoach, but the outer membrane of the brain has not been punctured, then it's kshera. Nikev alef, you have a puncture in the heart, v'lo lebeit chalolo, but it does not reach into the cavities, doesn't reach into the ventricles or the atriums inside of the heart. So that is still kshera. Nishpara shidra, spinal column is broken, but the spinal cord is still intact. Tlaha kaved, if the liver is removed, but there's a kazayit left, and this is a machloka between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, which the Gemara discussed, of how much you need to be left. The Elu Trefot Mishnah seems you have to have a mashu left in order to be kasher. This Mishnah seems to suggest that you need at least a kazayit of the liver left to be kshera. So again, now here we have the hemses, or hamases, depending on how you pronounce it, the omasim, ubeta kosot, the reticulum, Shnikvu zelotoch ze. If they are punctured, they sit next to each other on top of each other. If they puncture one into the other, then they are ksherot, because they actually empty one into the other. That's how the food moves through. That moves from one to the other, and they actually have a connection already. So if you have an additional hole in there, that will not make it into a trefa. Nita latchul, if the spleen is removed, that is not a problem. The entire spleen is gone. That is not a trefa, that's kshera. Nitlu aklayot, if the kidneys are removed, not a problem either. That is kshera. Nita lechi atachton, if the lower jaw is taken out, then it's kshirat. That we already discussed in the Gemara, that it makes a difference about how much of the lechi atachton is taken. If it's simply the jawbone itself that's taken out, but the flesh or basar is left behind it, that holds up the simanim, the esophagus or the trachea, and that holds them in place, then it'll be a kshira. On the other hand, if you take out the lower jawbone along with the basar behind it, and that releases the trachea on the esophagus, then it would be a trefa. So over here we have to say it's just the jawbone that's taken out and not the basar behind it. Nitlaim shala, if the womb is removed from the animal, that's also kshira, it's not a trefa. Vecharuta bidei shamayim, if you have the lungs that they contract, they shrivel up, they dry out, but the drying out has been caused by natural means. Caused by deshamayim, that is kshira, because chozer leitano, it goes back to its original state. It's some sort of sclerosis of the lungs, but it does return to its original state because of bidei shamayim. If it's bidei adam, that's not the case. If it's bidei adam, then it's a trefa, that's one of the shev shmaitato that we brought, because there it does not return to its original state. Vehagluda, who's also brought in that first mar by the Elu Trefot, Hagluda is an animal that's completely skinned. Rabbi Meir Machshir says it's not a trefa. Chachamim Poslim say it is a trefa. So now the Gemara is going to discuss Itmar. We have two Mishnayot over here. We have Elu Trefot and we have Elu Ksherot. Now there's going to be a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Which one of them is Dafka? Which one of them means Elu these and no others, period? And which one is just because of the parallel language is also brought down as Elu, but it's not exclusive? And that's a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Elu Trefot Davko. The first Mishnah, when it says Elu Trefot, is these are the Trefot, and there are no more than them. That's it. They're exclusive list. Shemin Lashon Homer Elu Ksherot Davko. Now, the exclusive list is our Mishnah here, the Elu Ksherot, whereas there are other things that might be Trefot that are not included in the first Mishnah. So, my Kamiflige, what's the Nafkamina between them? What is left out of these Mishnayot that you're worried about? Bid Rav Matno. They argue about this issue of Rav Matno. The Amar Rav Matno, again, we discussed this back in the beginning of Elu Trefot. Dahai boka de atmo. So we said before that the atmo is the femur bone. So the boka is the head of the femur bone, the shaf mi duchte, that has dislocated from its place. Well, the head of the femur bone sits inside of the hip. So if it's dislocated mi duchte, then it's a trefa. That's the statement of Matno. You have the top of the femur bone coming, dislocating from the hip bone. That's the Rov HaRishonim learned that way. That there is a Raivud who suggests that the Boka de Atma is actually the lower end of the femur bone, where it attaches into the knee, so it would be a dislocated knee instead of a dislocated hip. Over here, we just go with the Rov HaRishonim that we're talking about the dislocated hip. So that's a Trefot. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Elu Trefot Davka. Our Mishnah is exclusive. It says Elu Trefot, Tana Trefot, Vitana Zeaklau. It says, it gives you a list of Trefot, and then it gives you this all-inclusive term at the end, which is Zeaklau. That Zeaklau is going to include everything. Chazio. So then the author saw the Rav Matno, Da'ati B'Zeaklau. He was afraid that you would include B'Zeaklau, the member of Rav Matno. So my time, the Damian Netule, because it's similar to something that is Netula, that is taken out. So similar to Netula, I would say, since it's similar to that, it's also included in the Zeaklau. So Tanu Elu Trefot, so that's why it says Elu Trefot as an exclusive term. Hani Hudu Tarfa, Had Rav Matno Kshira. That these alone are the Trefot, but Rav Matno is not included in the Mishnah, it's not included in the Zeaklau, and it comes to exclude Rav Matno. Shimon ben Lakish, on the other hand, Amar Elu Ksherot Davka. That this Mishnah, our Mishnah here, is the one that's Davka. Tana Trefot, Vitana Zeaklau. He redid the Trefot and said, Zeaklau v'chadzi de Rav Matno de lo atya b'Zeaklau. And the Tana realized that the Zeaklau wouldn't include Rav Matno, my time. Lavni nu kuvei damya, it's not similar to a puncture. It's lo lipsuke damya, it's not the same as being severed. It's not as if it's totally removed. It's still there. It's not that it's like a nitalis tchul, where the spleen is totally removed, or the kaved. That's not what it's like. Sutana elu ksherot, hanihu de ksherot. So we have an exclusive list here in our mission that says these are ksherot. Hadramatno would not be included because it's not in this list, and therefore it is a trefa. So there makolkat about what is dafko is coming to address this issue of Ramatno. Tosafot on the previous amud talks about the possibility that they could have had other memrot of the Amorim having this same nafkamina, like for instance Rachish Bar Papa. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to see Rachish Bar Papa, who says that lakta bekulya achat trefa, that if one of the kidneys became diseased, that it's problematic. Even though if you remove the kidney entirely, it's fine. So that also could have been a nafkamina between them and this Rachish Bar Papa, and he discusses why the Gemara didn't use that as the example. But the end or the bottom line of Tosfot is Veyesh Lamar, the Kimle, the Masadar Shas, the Piligiber of Matno. The bottom line is that the Masadar Ashas had a Mesora, or he had some idea that this was their Machloket, and therefore he established it. Even though if you had to do it with logic, you would have included other statements of the Amoraim that you would differentiate between them. Nevertheless, this was the Mesora that they had, that this was the differentiating factor between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Including, now when we talk about this dislocation of the hip, now we have some qualification about that. Gufa, Amar of Matno, Haibuku da Atmo, the top of the femur, the Shafmi Tukhtay, came out of the hip bone, Trefa. V'rava Amar Ksheira, Rava argues and says it's not, it's fine, it's Ksheira. That's similar to this Machloka, the Biokhan Reish Lakish we just saw. V'ifsik Nibei, if the ligaments were severed, if it tore the ligaments, then it's a Trefa. And the Gemara says, V'hilchoto, Ifsik Nami Ksheira. Even if the ligaments tear, it's kshira ad mit achleit akule, until they are kayed or they're totally missing. The ligaments are totally gone. Now, actually, which ligament it's speaking about happens to be a machloket bishonim. Rashi says the ligament that we're discussing here is the very small ligament that's on the internal part of the femur inside of the hole or the socket of the hip bone. Whereas the Rambam says it's the larger ligament, which is on the outside of the femur towards the hip bone. That's the one they're speaking about here. So Rashi says something about that smaller internal ligament, and the Rambam says something about the outside or the larger ligament that's being torn over here, that it's still kshera, but unless it's totally decayed and gone away, then we assume that it's still kshera, and that's the halacha we pass in that way. Right now, we talked about in the Mishnah that if the trachea is actually missing, there's pieces of the trachea missing, how much has to be missing in order for it to be a trefa is adi saratalki. So Amar Ziri Atun, Ziri says to them, Atun delo mit chamei lechon shiura. You never saw an Isar Hayitalki. You never saw an Isar Talki. What should you do? How do you measure it? Because you don't have these Roman, Italian Isarim to measure it with. What should you use instead of it? So Shire bidinora kurdina. You should use these, what is it, Gordian dinarim. Now it's interesting, Rashi says, mehare aratu. That they're from hare arat. Hare arat, we know from the story by Noach, and that would be referring to something east of Eretz Yisrael, whether it's in Jordan or even further east, where the Teva was, that would be further east. On the other hand, there are those that say that the Gordian Dinarim refer to the Roman Emperor Caesar that was of the same name, and that's the Dinarim that we're speaking over here. So that would be to the west, not to the east, but whatever these Dinari, Kordinia, Vahavi, and this is probably the more practical answer is, Kepshita Zutrate, the smallest coins, the small coins, Mishtache bene pshite de pumpedita. In pumpedita, the smallest coin, the equivalent of what we'd say pennies in pumpedita, those small coins are the ones that are the same size as this Isar Talki, as well as this Dinar Kordina, and you can use those to measure the trefa over here. All right, Amar Rabbi Chana Petora. Rabbi Chana, the money changer. Petora means shulchan, means shulchani. He was a money changer because the money changers had a table in front of them to do the exchange. Ilominai Havakoi Barnafko. In front of me was standing Barnafko. Ubamini Dinara Kordinia the Share Betre Fatai. He asked me to provide him a dinar kordinia so that he can mention Trefot. He wanted to find this. Uva Lameka Mikame. And I wanted to stand up to give him honor. I wanted to give him kavot. So I wanted to stand up to provide that kavot. Velo Shavkani. And he wouldn't let me stand up to give that kavot. Amarli Shave Bini Shave. Stay seated. Ein bale umniot rishaim lamod mipnei talmidei chachamim b'shah shasukim b'mlachtam. Workers that are engaged in their profession are not, in rishaim here, is not allowed to stand up in front of a talmid chacham. They're not allowed to give that kavod to the talmid chacham. Now, what does it mean, ein rishaim, that they're not allowed? Well, they're not allowed to, according to Rashi, ein rishaim is because this person is not self-employed. He's employed by somebody else, and therefore he has a fiduciary duty to his employer to work hard and to continue working. If he stands up, then he's stopping his work, and he doesn't have permission to do that. So that's what Rashi says in Rishaim over here, means they do not have permission to get up because they are workers. They are wage earners. Since they're earning a wage, they have to work as hard as possible for their bosses. On the other hand, according to Rashi, if you were self-employed, you would have the option. You could get up because you wouldn't be under that same restriction. On the other hand, Tosafot says no. He says, I don't think so. He says, Nira lo, even if you're self-employed, you don't have to get up. And the meaning of Ein Rishaim over here means not that they're not permitted to get up, aval Ein Chayavim. They're not obligated to get up. If you're a Suk B'Malacha, then you're not obligated to get up for the Chacham. That's whether you're self-employed. Obviously, if you're a wage earner and you're employed by someone else, then it might be restricted. But even if you're self-employed, you are not chayav to get up or to stand up before the Talmud Chacham. Another nafkamina, which actually be based on that discussion, is Rav Rav Yaakov Bar Shimon Ayam Yashiv L'shon Rishim Afil Asuk B'machto Dein Rishayim K'moin Chayavim. And he brings a proof from the Gemara that we said in Kiddushim. When it talks about the Gemara in Kiddushim, talking about standing up for Talmud Chachamim, it says there, Ein Adam Rashay L'mod B'fnei Rabo El Shachrit V'Arbit. Person can't stand up for his Rebbe more than twice a day. So the kavod of the Rebbe shouldn't be greater than a Kodesh Baruch. We only stand up with a Kodesh Baruch twice a day, meaning we stand in tefillah before him. So too, for the Talmud Chacham, you shouldn't have to do more than that. So what does it mean, ein rishaim? You're not permitted. So if you read it like Rashi, not permitted means that you can't get up. If you get up more than twice, then you're actually giving more kavod to the Rebbe than you're giving to a Kodesh Baruch. And that would be a pan of Hashem. That would be a spite to a Kodesh Baruch. On the other hand, the way Tosafot's reading this, it means ein rishaim means ein chayavim. You're not obligated to get up. After the first two times, you're not obligated to get up, just like you're not obligated to stand up before Hashem more than two times. But if you choose to, if you want to, then you do have permission to get up. And so too, so Tosfot, the Ein Rishayim, how you read the Ein Rishayim here, meaning, is it not permitted? Or does it mean not chayav? We'll have an afkamina both for our Gemara over here, whether self-employed people have to stand up to give kavod to Talmud Chacham, as well as that Gemara in Kiddushin, which, about standing up, how many times must you stand up for Talmud Chacham in a given day, whether two is the absolute maximum, or beyond two, you're not obligated, but if you want to, you could get up after that point in time. So now the Gemara says, Velo, is it really true that workers do not have to stand up when a Talmud Chacham comes by? V'atanan. We have a Mishnah in Bikurim, Kol Balei Umniyot Omdim Mipneihem. When the people came to dance up to Yerushalayim, they were bringing their Bikurim from their towns up to Yerushalayim. As they came in, then all the workers were used to stand up Mipneihem, Mishalim Bishlomam, and they asked them, Shalom Aleichem, they used to greet them, Vormim Lehem, Achenu Anshei Makom Ploni, our brethren. They come from so and such and such city. Boachem b'shalom, come. Welcome to the city. Welcome to Yerushalayim. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipneihem omdim, Mipnei Talmid Chachamim, Ein omdim. He's medayik out of the Mishnah, that for the Bali Bikurim, for the people who bring up the Bikurim, you have to stand up. But for Talmid Chachamim, you don't have to stand up. So don't bring me a proof from there, because that's the exact distinction. The people bring up the Bikurim, you have to stand up. Whereas those that are for the Talmid Chacham, you would not have to stand up. So Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, look how wonderful, how special a mitzvah in its time when it's done properly is worth. For the people who are mali bikurim to Yerushalayim, they are, you stand up for them because they're doing the mitzvah bikurim in the right time and doing it properly. Whereas for a Talmud Chacham, you don't even have to stand up if you're working. When it says mimai, why do you have a proof from here? Dilma kadesh lo tei nimtza machshilan latid davo. Maybe the reason that we have them get this special greeting and everybody stands up for them is to encourage them to come again. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort to bring the Bikurim up to Yerushalayim. We're afraid if nobody treats them nicely and nobody greets them, they're going to say, this isn't worth it. I'm not coming back again. But if they make it into a big pageantry and everybody stands up and greets them, people will be encouraged to come again. And so maybe that's the reason we do it. Maybe it's a takana to help the people come back, not because of the importance of mitzvah b'shaito. All right, now the next statement of the Gemara is, Amar Rav Nachman, kisela ki yeter misela, kisar ki yeter mikisar. When I say something is a sela, if it's the size of a sela, it has the same din as being more than a sela. If it's an isar, it has the same din as being more than an isar. So over here, the isar part we can understand easily. The isar is referring to the trachea. Over here we said that if the trachea has a hole in it the size of an isar, that is problematic, it's a trefa. So what Rav Nachman is coming to say is that the size of the isar is equivalent to, then greater than the size of the isar. If it is the size of an isar, it's already a trefa. It has to be smaller than the size of an isar, otherwise it's already a trefa, and that's what it means, that isar is already above it. The problem is, when we're talking about a sela, what is that referring to? Where do we see a sela come up as a determination of a trefa? So Rashi claims that this refers to the Mishnayot that we've seen before, the Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, refers to the Shidra, the spinal column, and the gulgolet, and the skull, that how much has to be missing in order for it to be tahor, or in order to be a trefa. The Gemara over there says, or equates the missing part to a sela. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, when we're talking about that absence in the spinal column, how many vertebrae have to be missing, and the gulgolet, how much is missing, that's measured by a kisela. That's what Rashi claims we're speaking about here. Rabbeinu Tam says that he disagrees, and he thinks that the sela we're talking about here is gluda. But we mentioned in our Mishnah, an animal that is skinned. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf that if there is a sela of skin that is left in a certain place, then it can rejuvenate and regenerate itself, and it will not be a psula, it will not be a trefa. So that's what it's referring to. That sela of skin is what it's referring to. Tosafot rejects both of them because both of them are litahara. Both of them are positive items that make it tahor. We're actually looking for something that's a trefa. And therefore, Tosafot offers up a third possibility, and that's something that we did on, I think it's daf nun, we did it a couple of daf ago, which is the keres, the underbelly of the animal. There we said how much of the underbelly of the animal has to be missing if it's actually cut out. Not that it's sliced, but it's actually missing. How much has to be? There we said kesela. And then we said that nimtach, if it's pulled out, then you push it together to make it the size of a sela. There was machloket Rashi and Tosafot, whether that meant the circumference of a sela or the area or the diameter of the sela. But nevertheless, that's what it's referring to. The trefa of it being the size of a sela underneath. And that's what it's referring to. That a sela kiyeter misela. A sela is like more than a sela. If it's the size of a sela, it's already a trefa. Whereas according to Rashi and Tosaf and the Rabbeinu Tam, but above a sela is already tehora. It's not a trefa. So it's not so clear that you could read their interpretations into the Gemara so simply. But basically, we have the statement of Rav Nachman that whenever we get a shiur from the Chachamim, that shiur is the threshold, and that shiur is like above it. Meaning that at that point, you're already trefa. It has to be below the threshold that they mentioned. So it has to be below an isar or below a sela in order to be tehora and not be a trefa. So Alma Kasavar, the conclusion that you draw from this is ad velo ad bechlau. That Rav Nachman holds that when it says until a certain point, it means till that point, but not including that point. Till an isar is kshira, but not including an isar. Till a sela is kshira, but not including a sela. Eight ve Rav Nachman, we have a problem because we have a in Kalim that says chevel ayotze min amita. If you have a string that extends out of the bed, the woven part of the bed that holds up the mattress. So there it's tmeya because it's a kli. The rope itself, a rope itself is not a kli, it's not tmeya because it's not woven. And therefore it doesn't have a din, therefore it would be tohora. So that's it. Chevla yotzei min amita. If you have an extended rope that comes out of the weave of the bed that held up, you know, the equivalent of a hammock, and there's a string extending at the end, ad chamisha tefachim, until five tefach, tahor. The first five tefach, the string comes out, it's useless. Since the string is useless and the rope itself is not inherently tameh, it's tahor. It's not mekabel tuma. My love, how would you read this Mishnah? Chamisha kelemato. Sounds like five and below. Up to five is tahor, including five. Where it says no, chamisha kelemalo. No, it means five and up is already problematic, but below five is tehora. So tashma, what about the next part of the Mishnah? Meheva dasara, from five until ten, tameh. My love, asara kilamato. Sounds like 10 is like below. Meaning 5 until 10, including 10, is tmeya. Lo, asara kilamala. 10 is like above it. Above 10 is also tohora. Turns out that the rope for the first 5 tfachim is tohora because it's useless. Up to 5 to 10 tfachim, it's useful because then the rope can be used to tie up the animals for the Korban Pesach next to the bed. Above 10 tfachim, again, it becomes useless. It's just too much rope. You can't use it anymore. So the area that's tamei, or when it will be tamei, is the rope between 5 and 10 tefachim in that measurement. So the Gemara wants to know, when the Mishnah mentions 5, it sounds like 5 is included below, and 10 is included below. It means 5 until 10, including 10. Up until 5, including 5. That would go against Rav Nachman, says ad velo ad bichlal. So the Gemara answered in both cases, no, that 5, it's up till 5 is tahor, but 5 is already tamei. Up till 10 is tamei, but 10 and beyond is tahor. So that's how we'll answer it. Okay, tashma. We're going to bring another Mishnah from Kalim. And this will prove to be a little more difficult. Hatakimish should be kli cheres. We're talking about small pottery utensils, jugs, utensils of pottery. Hain, vikar kirotehem, they, their bases, vidafnetehem, their walls. Yoshvim shlom musur machim. If they sit without being propped up by something else, then they are shiran, bikadei sichat katan vadlog. It's for the amount of oil that you can put in there. If you can hold the amount of oil from Sichat Katan enough to anoint a young baby or a young child, Va'ad Log, until the size of a log. So now, just quickly, I just want to understand this Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a Kli Cheres, a whole Kli Cheres that was broken. So now we have the shards of this broken Kli Cheres. The question of whether these shards are Tamei is a question of whether they're functional. Are they functional? So how do we determine if they're functional? Well, if they can do, here are the measurements that the Mishnah is about to lay out. Now, how much the shard has to be functional depends on the original size of the kli cheres. The original pottery size will determine how much the shard has to be able to hold in order to be useful or to be considered tmeya. So that's what the Mishnah is going to go through, actually, 3 or 4 cycles of this. What's problematic about the Mishnah and the way it's quoted here in the Gemara, it says here, Hadakin shbilkeres hein vekarkutehem. It says even when they're whole, it seems to me that there's a minimum standard even for whole klicheres, that they have to have at least sichat katan, that at least the amount that would anoint of oil that would anoint a child. We find nowhere in Shas that there's a minimum standard for a whole klicheres amount, how much it holds. So Tosfos says, if you look in the Mishnayot and Kelim, the word hein is not there. Because hein is not, there's no base definition, there's no minimum amount that a pitcher or kli cheres must hold in order to be tmeah. If it's a kli, it's tmeah. Here we're talking about shards. The Tosfos says, despite what he's saying, the Mishnah still reads more difficultly, because the Mishnah in Kelim writes like this, hadakim shibli kecheres vikarkotehem, it still has a vav there. So what's the vav doing there if it's something separate? Hadakim shibli kecheres would just be the header. And then vikarkotehem should be the first of the statement. So vid, the vav there makes it sound like they should have said hein, that it's including them. So Tosfos leaves that as a somewhat of a difficulty that we never find such an idea that there's a minimum standard. Nevertheless, if you're talking about a kli cheres, that is from k'tei sichat katan ad log, so when it goes from the amount that would anoint a baby until a log, my lav log milamata, it sounds like from that amount until a log, including a log, where it says, no, lo, lamag, log is the malo. Log goes above. It goes into the next category. So no tashma. So now the next category is milog v'adza'a birivi'it. Now when it comes to a utensil that holds the amount of a log until a sa'a, then the residual shards, in order to be tmeim, have to hold a rivi'it a log. So where it says, my lav sa'a kilamato, that the sa'ah is like below, meaning that it's included in the enumeration here. So Gemara says, no, sa'ah kilamalo. Sa'ah is like the next category. So it's ad sa'ah, but not nugunning a sa'ah. Tashma, the next category there is, misa'ah v'atza'ah time, from a sa'ah until two sa'ah bin chatzi log, then the shards have to be able to hold a chatzi log. So my lav sa'ah time kilamata, it sounds like from one until two, including two. So two would be included. Lo, sa'ah time kilamalo. Sa'ah time is in the next category again. Vahatanya, now we've found the problem is that we have a braita that says log kilamata, sal kilamata, satayim kilamata. It's explicit. It's explicit that all of these are included lamata, and that goes against Rav Nachman's statement that we don't say ad va'ad bichlal. We give an upper level measurement, we mean up till then, but not including that measurement. Over here, the Mishnah in Kelim is saying up to that measurement, including that measurement, which goes against the position of Rav Nachman. Where it says, and now the Mar is like going to reverse its whole position until now. It says, hotam the chumra. Over there, it's the chumrah. Because if you keep the measurement in the lower category, then the standard by which the shard will be measured is a lower standard. So in the case where it's a chumrah, then we say ad va'ad bichlal. But if it's the kulah, then we'd say ad va'lo ad bichlal. And that is, damarai ba'o, amra b'yochanan, kol shirei chachamim, anytime the chachamim give a shiur, is the hachmir. We always go the chumrah, because if it's d'oraita, we always have to go the chumrah. So the chumrah would assume that whatever shear the chachamim are giving, if to put it in, included in the category is the chumrah, then we'll include it in. Ad va'ad bichlal. And that's the case in the Mishnah and Kelim. To include it in the category means that the standard by which the shards will be measured is lower, which will make it easier to become tmeah or remain tmeah. So that will be governed by ad va'ad bichlal. Whereas over here, when we're talking about ksherot, until an isar in the throat, in the trachea, is going to be ksherah. So over there, if you included until an isar, including an isar, that would be the kula. So over there, we're going to say ad v'lo ad bichlal, only until an isar is a kshera. An isar is already like afterwards, and that'll be the chumrah. Because the only exception to that rule is migris shel ktamim lahakel. When it comes to a stain, a woman's stain who is a nida, that stain is mentioned by a gris, by the size of a bean. And that is because it could be that it was a makolet, it was a lice that was smushed in there. And since that could be the size of the lice, we go to kula. Rashi says, why do we go to kula there? Because ktamim atzmam dirabonon. A nida is only a nida d'oraita, when she has a discharge that she feels from the internal area, from inside of the womb, she feels a discharge, that's a din d'oraita of nida. If she simply just sees a ketem, a stain on her clothing, that's only a din d'rabbanan of nida. So since it's a din d'rabbanan, we go to hakil, and therefore go all the way up to a grease. If it's the size of a grease, we'll go to kula and say that she's not a dam nida, and she can be tolaet b'makolet with the lice. Dekanami, and I can say that to you, we can prove this, arit diktani Allah, we saw before in the Mishnah, before about the rope, chamisha kilamala, asara kilamato. We have a braita or a tosefta on that Mishnah that talked about the rope, that 5 is like above and 10 is like below. And that means it's the chumrah on both sides. The 5 being above and the 10 below means that's the area that's tameh in the rope. From 5 until 10 is tameh. And here it says 5 is like above it and 10 is like below it. So you're not consistent in there in ad va'ad bichlal, va'ad velo ad bichlal. You're inconsistent. What is the consistent nature of it? That they're both a chumrah. if you make the 5 like above and you make the 10 like below, you're going to Chumrah, because then that area of the rope will be Tameh. And that's the Deikonami, that we always go the Chumrah. So whenever it's, whether it's Ad V'Ad Bechlal or Ad V'Lo Ad Bechlal, will be determined whether we go the Chumrah. Except again, like the case of the Ktamim, where it's a Din D'Rabbanan, where we can be Mekil, and since we're going to be Mekil in a Din D'Rabbanan, then that principle will not apply. And so Rav Nachman's statement of here, it's Ad V'Lo Ad Bechlal, is not a generic statement. It's a specific statement here about the Trefot to make it the Chumrah by Trefot. So Tosafot over here, actually this massive Tosafot, discusses the point of these shards. Does one have to designate these shards to actually be kelim and to be in use in order for them to come to me out, or does it happen automatically? Tosafot makes a proposition, and he says that you have to miyached them, that you actually have to designate these items or these shards to be used in order for them to be tmeim. And he says, even if someone takes a larger area, like for instance, a pitcher that was the size from a log until a sa'ah, and even though there's a shard that is smaller than a revi'at log, he says, I want to use it. It doesn't work because we just say this guy is unusual, eccentric, and he can't make it into a kli. It's not the usual usage of such an item, and he cannot be miyached this item. So that is Tosfos' proposition. He takes a lot of time discussing this, brings proofs against it, for it, and then he adds in some additional twists and turns here, which one of Tosfos' proofs is that the Mishnayot and Kelim say that if you have a pitcher or a barrel or some sort of utensil made out of earthenware, out of kli cheres, and it has a hole punched into it, it was used to keep zeitim olives, and then he punched a hole in it so it can no longer hold olives. But I knew clearly the kabel rimonim, but it's still the rimonim, the pomegranates, which are much bigger, it could still hold. Then the kli is tahor. It's tahor in the kabel tuma. But if you start using it for rimonim from here on in, then it'll be tmeya. Now, if you believe you don't require any yichud, you don't require any designation of the new usage of the kli, then why doesn't it automatically go on to the next usage or become tmeya automatically? You just moved it from zeitim, where it can't be used, to rimonim. But if it happens automatically, why does anybody have to be involved? Why? So that seems to be from that Mishnah that it's clear that you have to designate or redesignate. It's if you're restarting the kli from that point forward. And it doesn't happen automatically. Okay, I think we'll stop over here.